Yeah, a few people. I know my son does probably every day, right? Yeah. Have you ever had one of those days where you look in the mirror and you don't feel so good about yourself? Yeah, you're like, oh man, I'm a jerk. I'm just a horrible person, you know? And so if we allow our feelings to dictate our identity and who we are, then, man, we're going to be a different person every day. We're not going to be grounded. We're not going to be walking in God's created purpose for our lives and those things. And so it's so important to understand that we are what God says about us and not what we feel about ourselves. And so today, the part of our identity that I really want to talk about is that we're friends of God. We are friends of God. And that's a hard idea to grab hold of. Like if you kind of grew up in sort of like a very ultra-religious sort of church upbringing, you know, where we're just wretches, right? Oh, God, I'm just a wretch. I'm just a horrible person. I'm just like, God, you should just spit me out, you know? I'm just awful, and we kind of beat ourselves up a lot, and it's sort of almost like the spiritual masochism. Well, you know, it's hard to declare and understand and accept that you're a friend of God and beat yourself up at the same time, isn't it? You know? And so we are friends of God. I remember when I was 20 years old, it was so long ago now, it seems like, I had this old, it was like a 1979 Mustang, and it had a big hole in the front right quarter panel. There's a hole there that completely rusted through. The muffler rattled, but it had a very nice stereo inside of it. That's all that mattered. It didn't matter that it hardly ran. It had a thumping stereo system, right? And so I remember driving that thing out to Denver, and I was 20 years old, and I started going to this church, and it was the church that ran the Bible college that I was attending. That's why I went out there to go to a Bible college there. And that's where I met Wendy at that church, actually. So she was, yeah. She was singing on the youth worship team. She was wearing, I remember this, she was wearing like a forest green Izod shirt, okay, with the alligator on it. I'm saying legit, right? And she was wearing white shorts with like yellow pinstripes on it. Black pinstripes, you're crazy. Okay, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's black pinstripes. And she was wearing these little like deck shoes, all right? And she had these glasses, and she's up there on the worship team singing in the youth. I remember that. And so I don't know how I got on that. But there was a pastor on the staff there, and his name was Gary. He was young, and he was so cool. I remember thinking, this guy is so cool. He sang. He had a CD. It was called The Collection. I'm not quite sure why he named it The Collection, but it was called The Collection. And he ran the fine arts department, so he did all the drama. And he had super cool hair, and he dressed super cool. Gary was just cool. Remember Gary? He was the coolest guy, to this day, like one of the coolest guys I've ever met. And I remember just thinking, man, this guy is so cool. And I ended up joining the fine arts department. This was back in the day when human videos were a big deal. Any people who've been in church for a long time remember human videos? Yes. I think every church did that Lifehouse song at one point or another. But I remember they had asked me to do a human video at the church. And so I did this human video to Carmen's The Champion. You guys remember that song? Anybody remember that song? Yeah. Right? Yeah, okay, I'll do it for you right now. Bring it up. No, I'm just kidding. I will not do it for you. But I remember I'm doing The Champion one Sunday night at church. And afterwards, Gary walks up to me, and he's got his cool baggy jeans on and his cowboy boots, and he's got this shirt tucked in with this cool flower. And he's, hey, how you doing, man? I'm Gary. And he introduces himself to me, and he goes, hey, ever thought about joining the fine arts department? You should join the fine arts department. And so I did. And I joined the fine arts department. And I remember after a few weeks of going to like the drama practices and whatever, and one night Wendy and I were there, and Gary and his wife walked up to us and they went, hey, you guys want to go to Chili's? And I was like, do I? You know? And so I couldn't believe Gary asked us to go to Chili's, you know? I better chew with my mouth closed. And so we went to Chili's with Gary, and I just remember I was so nervous, and I was telling all sorts of corny jokes because I wanted to make Gary laugh. Wendy's like, yeah, you should have just shut up. And
You know, but I just remember, like, going there and thinking, I can't believe this dude wants to, he wants to hang out. He wants to hang out with me. And once I actually kind of settled down, you know, a little bit, and the bromance was over, Gary and I got to be good friends. And so when he eventually moved, and he moved down to New Mexico, and I went down to visit him, and he was actually one of my groomsmen. He became one of my groomsmen in my wedding, and we got to be really, really good friends. And that was just one of those things where it's like, wow, this person's super cool, and we got to be really good friends. And it was just really cool, and we're friends to this day. And sometimes, you know, that happens. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you're like somebody who you thought was just really cool, and then you end up becoming good friends. Or maybe somebody that you just thought was really cool, and then you got to be friends, and you realize they're not that cool. You know, they get pit rings like anybody else, right? They wake up with bad breath. I don't know, whatever. Or sometimes you make good friends with somebody that you thought was going to be really cool, but it was actually really disappointing, right? I know a lot of you are probably thinking right now, you're going, okay, we get it. God is Gary, he's really cool, and we get to be his friends. You got, how many people were thinking that? I said, oh, sorry. Okay, stop right there. The rest of you, listen. And so, like, here's, you know, this may be true, but what I want you to do is I want you just to imagine for a moment, just for a second, that in this scenario, Gary's not God, right? And you're not me. In this scenario, I want you to imagine that God is the me character. And you are the cool one. And that God is going, I really want to be friends with those people. They are awesome cool, right? Because really, according to Scripture, that's what it is. We have this God that goes, I just think you are super awesome, and he pursues us in friendship, and he pursues us in relationship, and he's constantly trying to get our attention, right? And he desires this friendship, okay? He desires this friendship. In fact, not only does he desire this friendship, he paid an incredible cost just so he can be friends with you, just so things can be right. And so we serve this God who is longing for friendship with us. Wow. So we're the Garys in this scenario, and God is the Lee in this scenario. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk more about our identity as friends because it's so, so important. But let's pray real quick. God, we love you and we thank you that you desire us. You desire friendship with us, Lord, that you are constantly reaching out, constantly seeking our attention. God, that you long for us and you desire us. I pray, God, that you would just make that, it's just so real in us today, that you would break through our false perceptions of friendship with you, that you would break through, God, false identities that we put on ourselves, Lord, and that you would just make that come alive in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to start off by reading a scripture today, and this is Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. And it says this, but God showed his great love for us. Everybody say, great love for us.
Great love for us.
Okay. By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay. In other words, let me just rephrase that. While we could care less about friendship with God, he sent Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, can I just stop right there? It says that our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son. Not our friendship with God was restored by not swearing for a week. Okay? It's not our friendship with God was restored because we made it to church 4 weeks in a row. All right? It's not our friendship with God was restored, because we stopped watching that show on HBO. Right? No, our friendship with God was restored because of the blood of Christ Jesus. Our friendship with God was restored because of an action that God took, not an action that we take. That's really, 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 really good news. Okay? That's awesome news. We got to get that, all right? And so our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. We will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us what? Yeah, friends of God, not frenemies. Not people that God merely tolerates, not ants, you know, just lucky to have this gracious God that doesn't step on us and wipe us out, right? You understand that, listen, Scripture, you read through the New Testament, that's the message, the whole thing. Friends of God, we're friends of God, that nothing can separate us from his love, that he reached out to us. And if we begin to walk in that identity as friends of God, boy, that's pretty awesome. Okay? That's pretty awesome. So if you remember one thing about your identity this morning, remember that you are loved by God. And we talked about that a little bit last week, but remember that you are loved by God. Look at the person next to you. Just tell them you're loved. Somebody tell it to Kathy. She's sitting by herself. You're loved by God. Yeah. You're loved by God. You are loved by God. And so last week we talked about that a little bit. But you know what? Here's the thing. I can tell you this week that you are loved by God, but by next week, some of you will already have forgotten that. You know? And I can tell you, hey, you're loved by God, but by next week, some of you won't live like that because even though you can tell yourself that mentally, you won't feel it here. And then we go back to that whole thing about, well, because I don't feel it, it must not be true. We don't base our... Does anybody here ever read Babylon Bee? Oh my goodness. Okay. Did you see the article about the new theology of soulless feel? Everything based on feelings is it was a joke. It was a parody that, you know, young evangelical leaders are getting together forming a new theology called solely by feeling, you know. It's all about feeling. But you know what? We laugh at that, but it's like it's so true because we lean so heavily on how we feel, right? I mean, and we have to understand that whether you feel loved by God or not, it doesn't change the fact that he is madly, passionately, just crazy in love with you. All right? So, John 15:13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Right? No one in the world will ever love you as much as Jesus. No one. No one. No one in all the world can love you as much as Jesus. Your spouse can't love you as much as Jesus does. Your parents can't love you as much as Jesus does. It's not possible, okay? No one can love you as much as Jesus. Imagine the person that you love the most, right? Imagine the one person in your life that you would do anything for. I just for a second, maybe it's your favorite child. And, you know, let's just admit, we all have a favorite child, right, guys? I'm just kidding. My three sons are sitting right here. You know, so don't raise your hand. Hudson's like, No. No. Don't do that. Okay? I love all three of my sons. But imagine you got somebody in your life that you would do anything for, anything for. I mean, this is the one that you go, I just love this person so much. Okay? You know, that's not even a fraction as much as Jesus loves you. Like that's not even, right? So we can't even comprehend the love of God. Scripture tells us. We can't even imagine it. Okay? The height, the depth, the width, the breadth of God's love. It's massive. And he loves us so, so, so much. So remember that. You are loved by God. And the next thing I want you to remember is this. You're a friend of God. And I've said that in the beginning. You're a friend of God. John 15:15 says, and, you know, Wendy kind of stole the scripture from me this morning during worship. John 15:15 and 16a says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my what? Friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Right? You didn't choose me, I chose you. You were the cool one in this scenario, and I was looking for friendship with you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. You were a friend of God. And so he is seeking relationship with us. God is constantly seeking relationship with us. I think one of the saddest things that I see in the church today is like an empty prayer meeting. It is. It's so sad because, like, here we have God that's going, come on, friendship with me. Spend some time with me. Just spend some time with me. Let's talk together. Let's be together. And then we have a prayer meeting and there's like two people there. And I just think, oh, how that must like grieve God's heart, because he's constantly going, just come spend some time with me. Just be friends. Let's just pray. Let's just talk together, right? But we're like, well, I don't have time to pray in the morning because I'm just too busy. Oh, you know what? I'll talk to God in the shower. Right? And God is going, relationship with me, just come on, I want to be your friend, I want to be your friend, I want to be your friend. But we're like, you know, like, hey, sorry God, I got better things to do. Game is on. Sorry God, I got better things to do. I need that extra 15 minutes of sleep in the morning. Oh, you know. And we've all been there with other friends where we've gone, I want friendship with this person. And that person, they would make such great friends, but you know what? They just never call me. Right? Have you ever had that happen with you where you're like, man, they're an awesome person. I think we're going to have a great relationship and I think we're going to become friends. And it's like they don't return your calls and you send emails and you just sort of get a one-word response. And it's just, you know, it just doesn't happen. And it's so like disheartening. Right? We've all been there. We've been there. I remember one guy, you know, we sat and we had a conversation a few years ago, and he's just like, you know what, man, I could just see us becoming great friends. I want our kids to grow up together, you know. I can totally see hanging out and grilling in each other's backyards. I think we're going to be that kind of friend. And, like, that was about it. Like, we had maybe, you know, we got together for coffee a couple times. And I just remember thinking how disappointed I was, because I thought, wow, he's speaking my heart when he's saying he wants to be friends, because, like, I want that too. You know, it didn't happen. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Jesus is a friend who will never turn his back on you. He's never going to gossip about you. He's never going to betray you. He's never going to outgrow you. You know, we outgrow friendship sometimes. I remember when I moved to the Quad Cities about 14 years ago, I moved away from some of my oldest, some of my dearest, some of my closest friends. And they were people literally that I just thought, I'm going to do the rest of my life with these people, regardless of where we live and they live and whatever, and we're going to be great friends. These were people that I worked with, people that I wept with, people that I worshipped with. I mean, these were people that were just like, you know, brothers and sisters in arms, and you know, this is awesome. There were people that we grew together in the Lord. And I always thought that they would be in my life. And out of the dozens of people that I thought were lifelong friends, only one really ever calls me. You know, a couple times a year I get a call. And he's a great friend, and we sit and talk, and we're both pastors now, and we're both church planters as well. And so we get to talk and whatever. But, I mean, like, a couple of my friends actually even pass through the Quad Cities to go see family members and stuff, and they don't even call me to say that they're coming through. You know, like, you don't have to awe. I'm just saying that we have these expectations in our friendships, you know, where we're thinking that, you know, this is how it's going to be, and it just doesn't happen. But, you know, we do the same thing to Christ when we stand on a Sunday and we say, you're the lifter of my head, and oh, glory to you, and I'm a friend of God. And then God says, hey, how about 10 minutes with me this morning? I'm too busy, you know? How about like an hour on a Sunday night? Nah, I'm tired. And how that must feel to God, you know, because we know how it feels to us, right? Now we know how it feels to us. And so, you know, I don't say that as a way of going, hey, be guilty. Feel guilty, people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is the reality. This is how friendships work. And, you know, we have those expectations with face-to-face friendships, but when we come to Jesus, it's almost like, he understands. He knows everything. He loves me, right? That hurts, but see, here's the thing, is Jesus is committed to his friendship with you. Jesus is committed to his friendship with you. He longs for that relationship. He longs for that time with you. He longs for that discussion. He longs for, just like you long for friendship with other people, he's committed to that friendship with you. And he's always ready to spend time with you. He's always ready to do life with you. He's always ready to be invited into the big moments of your life and the small moments of your life. You know, don't you have friends that when you go shopping, like this is a lady thing, I guess. Guys, we don't care. We're not shoppers. We're hunters, you know. We already know what we're going to get. We're just going to go and get out of there, you know. But, you know, we're just like, you know what? I think I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to call so-and-so to go with me, you know. Or when something happens, like nobody wants to go to a movie alone. Has anybody ever gone to a movie alone? Yeah, all the losers raise their hand, say, oh, yeah, we all owned all that. I'm counting myself. My hand is raised too. I've gone to the movie alone, you know. Nowadays, though, now that my sons are a little older, if I can't get anybody to go with me, I just drag one of my sons with me. So, but like, you know, it's like we know what it's like to do life alone, but we also know that life is so much better when we include people with us, right? Life is so much funner, and it's so much more exciting, and we have wisdom, we have somebody to bounce ideas back when we can do things and bring somebody along with us. And Jesus wants to be that friend that we bring with us. And when we say, Jesus, you know what? I'm going to go shopping today. Why don't you come with me? You know, Jesus, I'm going to go for a walk. Come with me and talk with me. You know, and I think about like Adam and Eve. And when God created them in this, in their original, you know, this was God's original design where God said, hey, this is how I want it to be. This was before sin. What does the Bible tell us? That he walked with them in the cool of the evening, right? That Adam and Eve got to go walkies with God. You know, and so that is just so awesome. I would love that. I would love that. And so God wants that relationship with us. He's never going to turn his back on you. And guess what? If you have, if you've turned your back on God, or if you've just sort of neglected your relationship with God, he's still there going, hey, don't worry about it. I'm not mad at you. Let's just spend some time together. Let's just be together. Let's just have this friendship, okay? We're friends of God. And so the next thing is this, is I want you to understand, because you are right with God. You're right with God. Okay? And if you've hurt his feelings, if you have sort of neglected your relationship with him, listen, if your trust is in Jesus, you're right with God. You're right with God. And your behavior doesn't make you any more or less right with God. You're right with God. Because he paid a great price. Okay? You couldn't do anything to save yourself, and you really can't do anything to keep yourself saved. That's on God, okay? It's on God. So you're right with God. And when you know that you're right with God, and you have confidence that you're right with God, then you can approach him with confidence and joy. You know what? I got to show you this video real quick. has anybody seen, like, okay, this video went totally viral a few weeks back. And it was a guy who was being interviewed on the BBC, and his baby came bursting in the room. Okay, I want you guys to see this. Check it out in case you haven't seen it.
The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me. My apologies.
What is this going to mean for the region?
My apologies. South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months to a year.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so. I love that. Like, I don't even know. We're just talking about North Korea or something. I have no idea. Oh, gosh. It's so hilarious. Whenever I watch that, it makes me think about, like, this. I love the first little girl who walked into the office. First of all, her dad's on TV. Obviously, he's a smart man. He's esteemed. He has a reputation because they're interviewing him on the BBC. And how does she come walking into the office? Right. I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. She has this total, total, total confidence. And when we understand that we're right with God, we don't go to God like this. Right? That's how the mother came in, kneeling, you know, freaking out. But when we have confidence that we're right with God, that's how we walk into the room, right? Without condemnation. Without thinking that we're awful and thinking that God doesn't love us and thinking that, we're just miserable, miserable, miserable. We walk in with the confidence. And you know what's really cool? What just struck me? That when we walk into the presence of God with confidence, it helps to give others confidence. Yeah? The little baby following in on the little walker, right? We have confidence that we can walk into the throne room of God, into God's presence, right? Because we're right with Him, because we're friends of God, because we are loved. And when we understand those things, we can go into His presence and we can worship Him and we can pray. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what baggage that we carry with us, okay? He doesn't hold our sins against us. We are His friends and we can approach with confidence. All right? Yeah, thank you. But when we falsely believe that He's mad at us, when we falsely believe that He's keeping track of our shortcomings, when we falsely believe that He merely tolerates us, that's when we look more like the mother, right? And so Jesus has made you right with God. So enjoy His presence. Enjoy His friendship. It's not a spiritual homework assignment, right? Enjoy His presence. Rejoice that you are friends with God. Rejoice in that. Man, Christians should be constantly celebrating. It should be striking us constantly, In the car, driving, waiting at a red light, we realize, I'm a friend of God. This is awesome. Shopping. When someone gives us a dirty look in public or does something stupid and it just makes us feel awful, we can go, but I'm a friend of God. When somebody doesn't stroke us just right, or our, spouse tries to put us in a bad mood, or our kids misbehave, or whatever, we can go, but I'm a friend of God. There's so much to rejoice over. There's so much to rejoice over. Okay? And the last thing that I want you to remember is this, is your friendship matters to God. It does. Your friendship matters to God. Your friendship is important to God. Your friendship is a priority to God. Okay? Your friendship matters to God. If there's anything I think that we underestimate as believers, it's how much our friendship matters and is valued by God. Okay? Again, think about the person that you want and value friendship with, and it just seems like you're carrying all the friendship burden. You know what I mean? And you know how that feels, but your friendship matters to God. Jesus paid for our friendship with His blood. He paid for our friendship with His blood. It's so funny, sometimes I'll talk to people, and they'll be like, I just don't feel like God's ever done anything for me. And I'm just like, WTF. seriously. God's never done, okay, all right. The scourging, the bleeding, paying for your friendship with His blood, literally going to the cross and dying so that He can have friendship. Oh, yeah, He's never done anything for you. Yeah, oh, no, you're right. You better just kind of turn your back and go find a better friend. Your friendship matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. And if that's not enough to prove that your friendship matters to God, then guess what? Nothing's going to prove that your friendship matters to God. Nothing will. Nothing will. Because there is no greater love than a man lay his life down for his friend. All right? And so Jesus paid for our friendship with His blood. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He loves us more than any person on earth is even capable of it. He's adopted us into His family. So, if you ever read the book of Hosea, I just really want to encourage you to read it. The book of Hosea, it's in the Old Testament. And it's a picture of God's love for the nation of Israel. And in the book of Hosea, God tells Hosea to marry a prostitute. And so he marries a woman by the name of Gomer, which is a strange name for a woman. I always think Gomer Pyle, right? But he marries this woman named Gomer, who's a prostitute, and he loves her. He loves this woman, Gomer, even though she continues and doesn't have to prostitute herself anymore. She's married, she's being taken care of by Hosea, and she still chooses to go and prostitute herself. And I think every man in this room would be going, well, see you later, Gomer. You know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, right? I think most of us would be thinking that, right? Wait a minute, I love you, I marry you, I take care of you, but instead of being with me, you'd rather go out and prostitute yourself and be with other men? And what is in the book of Hosea, what does he do? He takes her back. And he takes her back, and he loves her, and he tells her how precious she is, and he tells her how much he loves her. And that is an illustration of how God loves us. That's how God loves us. He promises to never leave us or forsake us, okay? And so our relationship with God is like that. We put our friendship with him a lot of times on low priority, right? A lot of times we let other things take the place of God, like a prostitute would take place of her husband, you know? We neglect to our relationship with him. We neglect to pray or read his word, his love letter to us. Or we're embarrassed to tell others about our relationship with God, right? We're just like Gomer. We're just like Gomer in a lot of ways, okay? And we go to him when we need something, but we ignore him the rest of the time. You know, we're just like Gomer, but God keeps loving us. He's committed to us. He forgives us. And he still calls us his friends. Wow. Whew. Man, let that sink in. Let that sink in. Your friendship matters to God. Your friendship matters to God, and he loves you more than anything or anyone possibly ever could. All right? And so what I want to do this morning as we close, and, you know, if the worship team wants to come on up, worship team. And I just want to do, just take a couple minutes to express our gratitude as friends of God, right? Don't we have so much to be thankful for? So one person thinks we got so much to be thankful for. Don't we have so much to be thankful for? We do. We have so much to be thankful for. And this morning, it's funny because, like, inside of my heart right now, I have this sense of, oh, God, you know what? I could definitely be a better friend. And then I have this other part of me that says, God, thank you so much for being my friend. Thank you so much for being such an incredible friend. And you know what? And that's okay. And, you know, God might be challenging you this morning. God might be kind of tugging on your heart going, hey, you know what? I've been waiting for you to reciprocate friendship. I've been waiting for you to spend time with me. I've been waiting for you to worship me. I've been waiting for you to read my love letter to you, the Bible. I've been waiting for you to reach out in friendship to me as I'm reaching out to you. So some of you might be thinking that, going, okay, I feel a little convicted about my effort in the friendship with God, my side of the friendship with God. I've been lackadaisical in that. I feel convicted by that. And that's okay. That's the Holy Spirit, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. And then some of you, just some gratitude might just be swelling up inside of you going, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for his love. I'm so thankful for his mercy. I'm so thankful that he never gives up on me. I'm so thankful that, you know, he loves me more than anybody ever possibly could. And there's nothing that I could ever do to make him love me more. And it doesn't matter which end of the spectrum you're on, but what I want you to do is I want you to respond to it. Right? And so if you're swelling up with gratitude, then I want you to worship God and thank him and show him some gratitude. And if you're feeling like convicted, you're feeling the Holy Spirit kind of move on you, you're feeling a little bit bad about the way that you've conducted your friendship with God, then I want you to repent. I want you to maybe kneel at your seat and tell God, I'm sorry for not being a very good friend, and I want to pursue you, and I want to love you, and I want to reciprocate the friendship that you are reaching out to me. And I want you to respond. I don't want you to just look at this as one last song before we can get out of here. I want you to respond to that. Whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever end of the spectrum, or maybe it's somewhere in the middle, to respond to the Holy Spirit. And if you need prayer this morning, Karen's back there, and I'll head back there too. And if you need prayer for anything at all, we'd love to pray for you. But why don't you all stand with me? Let's just kind of turn.